Misha tells the Isser of Shahiyah, Misha tells the Isser of Achazar. Misha tells the Isser you can't leave food on the fire, he can't leave food on the fire from before Shabbos to warm, unless it's a grufa k'tuma, and that we discussed extensively, when does that apply, when does it not apply. And then the Mishnah says that you also have a further Isser of Achazar. You're not allowed to put the food, return food to the fire, so let's say I took the food off to serve, I want to put it back on the fire so it'll stay warm for the next serving, the next time I'm going to be serving it. So that's Hachazar. It's only getting mutter if it fits the different conditions we spoke about last time. The five or so conditions that there are. Some of the conditions are to avoid an Isser Daraisa, and some of the conditions are to avoid an Isser Drabanan. I'm not allowed to cook food on Shabbos. That's a melacha daraisa. And we assume machlokas. We showed him. We assume that the rule of ein bishul achar bishul is only applies like Tosis and the Rambam. It only applies once the food is mavushal kol tzarko. So number one, obviously, to take food that's not mavushal kol tzarko, mostly cooked, not fully cooked, and put it back in the fire. That's obvious that you're playing with an isser daraisa of bishul. We also assume that there was machlokas harishonim. How do you say the rule of bishul achar bishul? Is that only by solid food, or is it even by liquid food? If you have soup or something like that, where it's still cooked even after it cools down, but it cooled down and by water. So as Rambam presents it, the definition of cooking by water is heating it. So that's why there's a debate in Rishonim. Would you say, even if it's Mavushal called Tzarko, would you say, Ein Bishal Achabishal, Bedavar Lach, if it was Netzdani? Halacha Lamasa, both the Mechaber and the Ramah are concerned with that, the Mechaber more than the Ramah, but even the Ramah agrees that if you have soup, if it cooled down Lagamri, when it's down Lagamri, back to room temperature, there's no remnant left of it having been cooked in terms of heat, from a heat perspective. So then we would say, Yesh Bishal Achabishal, Bedavar Lach, if it's Netzdani. So those two are clear. Clearly, I cannot put something back on the fire if it's not mavushal kol tzarko. Clearly, I cannot put even fully cooked liquid back on the fire if it's totally cooled down. In either situation, you can have a problem of a concern of malach official. Okay. And then, in terms of the isurim, in terms of the isur drapa, but if it's mavushal kol tzarko, and it's either a davar yavesh or it's a davar lachshon and stein legamri, there's no problem of bishul. Ein bishul achar bishul. So min ha-Torah, if I put it back in the fire, I violate nothing. However, there's still an isur rabbanon of hachazar. So even though I've solved the problem of meleches bishul, I also have to grapple the problem of the isur of hachazara, and that requires another three or four conditions. Number one, as the Mishnah says, you definitely need Roof of tumah. It has to be a covered fire. Either you took the coals away, you cover the coals with ash, or the way we do, you cover the fire with a sheet of metal. You have to have that hecker. Then, so that's roof of tumah. The Mishnah says is sufficient to rid ourselves of any concern of shahiyah. If I was leaving on the fire from before Shabbos, roof of tumah, I'm good to go. For hachazara, we have more. For hachazara, even if it's roof of tumah, it needs to also be considered a continuation of the previous cooking. I'm not allowed to do a nesina mechadash. That's a sort of where the isra of hachazara begins. I'm not allowed to do a nesina mechadash even onto gruf of tumah. On Erev Shabbos, I'm allowed to put the food on the fire if it's gruf of tumah. Leave it there. But on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to just put food on the fire even onto gruf of tumah. So how is it ever mutter? Well, if I can construe it not as a fresh nesina mechadash, but as a continuation. It was on the fire, and I just took it off temporarily, and now I'm continuing, picking up where I left off. But I can see it as a hemshech of the previous shahia, then it will be mutter if it's grufa k'tuma. But if it's going to be nesina mechadash, then it's going to be asur, even though you have a black. So what do you need to say this is hachazar, and then I'm putting it back, rather than putting it down afresh? So that you need two or three conditions. The Gemara talks about two. And the Magen Avraham suggests that maybe a third. And the Gemara talks about that both in action and in thought it has to be continuation. In action has to be continuation in the sense that I'm still holding it. I didn't put it down. Once I put it down, so that sort of breaks the continuity. It's like a hefsek. And then the Gemara says it's also a mental piece that died to Lachzer, that my intention was to put it back. Because let's say I took it off to serve and I wasn't planning to put it back. I thought I was gonna all the soup would be gone now. Or I thought all the guests had already arrived. I took the pot, I'm walking around serving soup, and then I realize that I have extra, or I realize that there are people who haven't shown up yet. And I haven't put it down yet. So that's it is over the viyada, but not daito lachza. And at least lechachila, we discussed last time, maybe there's room for makom tzarech to rely on one or the other, but certainly lechachila, we would require both odu viyada, the physical aspect of hemshach, and daito lachza, the mental aspect that my intent was to put it back. And then, so far we have how many conditions? We have five conditions, right? In order to obviate, and this is the rice of bishul, the food has to be removed from shekel sarko, and if it's liquid, it better be lonestar and lagarmi. And then, in terms of Isra Banan, no one has to have Bigrufa Ktuma. And then, in order to consider it a Hemsheikh, rather than a Sim Echadosh, he Odiyo Daitel Hafter, and the Magen Avraham adds you also need Lonet Staron Lagamre. Magen Avraham says, Lonet Staron Lagamre by Hachazara is not just for liquids, it's even for solid. If I have a pan of chicken that had been on the blech, and I took it off to serve. But it's like a big dining room, and I'm walking around, and now I'm ready to put the shrine back on the fire, and the chicken is cold. It must have been serving for a long time. Cold, mamash cold. It wasn't so hot to begin with.
Dry chicken.
Kugel is a better example. I have potato kugel. And it's cooling down, and I'm walking around, serving this one, serving that. I stopped to schmooze someone for a few minutes. But I was planning, it was old to be, I was holding the whole time, I'm planning to put it back. I start shows with someone. That's Hesach Hadas is not, presumably not an issue, but Magen Avraham says it's fine. It's Mavushal Kol Tzarko, it's a Davar Yavish, so there's no problem Bishol, and it's the fire's group for Ketuma, Odu Yad Dait Lachzer. Vilagon says, go ahead and put it back on the fire, what's the problem? Magen Avraham says, no, it's not a Lagari. The Kugel totally cooled down. So the Vilna Gaon, that's a Mishnah Berurah points out. Vilna Gaon says it's not Lagamri. It's not Lagamri is an issue, but yeah, but the Ralach and Bishlach and Bishl. That's the Rambam's Pshat. That was Rambam's Pshara. But Magen Avraham holds this is a separate din of Lo Nitzan and Lagamri. One, Magen Avraham understands Lo Nitzan and Lagamri comes up in two separate contexts. One is in terms of the definition of Bishl, that if it's Nitzan and Lagamri, they would say Yesh Bishlach and Bishl with Ravalach. That's in terms of Malach and Bishl. But then the Magen Avraham says we also independently look to Nitzayin Lagamre alongside Lo Nitzayin Lagamre stands alongside Daito Hachzer Odu V'Yado. Magen Avraham says there are three conditions you need in order to be able to consider this putting back on a Hemshech rather than the Sinan Mechadosh. That in my mind that was my intention. Physically I was holding it, and physically the food is still somewhat warm. So that is from the Magen Avraham. That's the question of is there bishul or not? But the fact that it hasn't fully cooled down is part of what connects this to the time 10 minutes ago when it was on the fire. But if it's totally cooled down, even though from the point of view of my body, I'm still holding it. From the point of view of my mind, my intent is to put it back. But the Magen Avraham said, yeah, but there's a third condition. From the point of view of the food, it has to retain some of the heat. And then Vilna Gaon disagrees. So that's a chod does not come up that often. Does not come up that often. Now there is, we mentioned last time, we'll talk a little drop more about this. There is a Ramah quotes a Kula of the Ran, which he writes was a commonly practiced, but he's not very excited about it. And Moshe Feinstein drives that point home further. He's not very excited about it. What was that? Ran, and it's other Rishonim, also Ramban maybe, quote based on Rishalmi. The Rishalmi says, Ran quotes Rishonim, in the back of the riff, Ran says, Rishalmi says, the whole, all these Tanoim we just spoke about, the Tanoi HaChazara, that's, oh, Hachem Ayaskin, that you need, it needs to be a Hemshech. In other words, a Nesina Mechadosh is Aser, even on Tiberuf Ketuma. And I need Odu Yodai to Hachzer and Koyd Magav Ramon Stan Gamri to say it's not Nisim Lachash, it's a Hachazara. Ran says that's only true if it was off the fire since before Shabbos. If it was on the fire Friday night, wife lit candles, the food's on the fire, and then you took it off, then you could do this again, you could put it back whenever you want. However you want, whenever you want. Without, in other words, you don't need all the conditions, the last two or three conditions. That's the cool of the Rana, massive cool. Mamsha, massive cool. Now it's based on a Yerushalmi. The Rama says many rely on it. You know, that it was commonly practiced. Many in Poland at the time, that's where Rama lived, followed this Rana. He's not very excited about it. So Shechter points out that part of the reason why many are not excited about it is that if you look back at the Yerushalmi, the way we have the Yerushalmi, the piece of the Rana is quoting is actually parts of different paragraphs. It's almost like there's like, we would have two dots in the middle, a new piska. In the middle is a new piska and a new paragraph. And the argues from the point of perspective of argues in Yerushalmi, it's a misreading of the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi never said it. The whole kula is based on Yerushalmi, but Yerushalmi says it, Yerushalmi not say it. Perhaps he had a different girsa. Perhaps the Rana had a different girsa in Yerushalmi. Well, we have it doesn't say. Shechter also points out that Nosekelim discuss how come the Rambam. Rambam is usually the greatest quoter of Yerushalmi. Sort of a general methodological point. The Rambam is one of the uniquenesses of the Mishnah Torah, one of the three major uniquenesses of the Mishnah Torah, as opposed to the tradition that he was a part of the Sifri Hadgah, Sifri Halacha of the Gaonim and the Rif, one of the three major chidushim of the Rambam is to broaden the corpus and to give equal weight to Bavli and Yerushalmi and Midrash Halacha. So if someone's quoting Yerushalmi, it's usually going to be the Rambam. The Rif writes at the end of the Erevin, and we will pass like Yerushalmi, but Machlek is Bavli Yerushalmi, and Bavli automatically wins. But when the Gaon writes in more than one place, the Rambam clearly disagreed. Darko Shal Rambam Makam Makamas writes in Berga. Darko Shal Makam Makamas Lifsoka Yerushalmi Negra Bavli. Rambam himself writes that. He doesn't say this directly, but he says he's going to use Bavli and Yerushalmi and Mishra Halacha and Tosefta to look at the whole purpose. So it's sort of surprising that you have the Ran is calling Yerushalmi and the Rambam doesn't mention this. So apparently something else that Caleb explained, this kind of thing on the bottom of Yerushalmi explained that's because the Ran had. Because the way the arguments in the Yerushalmi, there is no kula to quote. It didn't say it. So that's why this is something that we would be very hesitant to rely on. There were poskim who rely on it, but it's So that's a good question. And that brings us to Prima Gadim. That we've mentioned under the Mishnah Brewer quotes, we've seen him quote more than once already just in our Simanim, that when you have a machlokas al legitimate machlokas al poskim, even if we don't accept the Shita HaMekila in terms of what we would do, but the Shita HaMekila will still allow us to not be concerned with the problem of Masa Shabbos. And if someone else did it, we wouldn't advise doing it. If he would ask me, should I do it? I would say no. But if he did it, there's no subsequent knas. There's only a knas on something that's aser l'chol hadeis. So the Ran may help us. We're going to see in a couple of minutes that Ravadia has a kula which will basically cover these cases. So we'll come back to that. So again, so that's the Isra of HaChazara. Again, the concept is besides the Isra Bishul, is the Isra of Nesin Mecharash, even with the Grufa Ktuma. And we need two or three conditions in order to make it hachazara, putting back, as opposed to sinu mecharash. And then, of course, it has to be grufa ktuma as well. But there are cases when hachazara, we don't need these tanam. When do we not need the tanam? We don't need these tanam. The isra hachazara is hachazara al gavet ha'esh. Al-Gabi HaTanur. The Isra HaChazara is, the Gemara says that we saw. Right? If it's L'toch HaTanur, that's no way out. HaChazara L'toch HaTanur is not Mutzer even with all the conditions. Maybe we should have mentioned that also. That's a condition number. That's yet another condition. Maybe we should reorganize our conditions, right? You have at Mevusha called Sarkon, it has to be Lone Stone, either solid Lone Stone or Gamri. That's to get rid of this. And then it has to be a nesina mecharash, and you owe the yodai for hafzer, and then Mother Avram throws in more, and then it has to be, the context has to be al gabe and grufa ktuba. Because lotoch is going to be yasser even with all the conditions. But if you're putting it on top of a covered fire, and it's a continuation, and there's no bishul, so then you're fine. Lotoch is worse. Right? To put it inside the oven is worse. That's why the warming drawers are very, very challenging. Many posts are not excited about putting food back into warming drawers. To leave food in warming drawers is one thing. But to put food back into a warming drawer on Shabbos, that gets a lot more complicated. Rabbi Willig works on maybe if you tape up based on the sugya early in the first parak, maybe you put multiple layers of tape over the dial, maybe that can save you. It's like tuach betit. Generally, that's an issue that the tzorech, the question, will that help you for hachazar? That'll just help you for shahia. The tzorech for that is usually an industrial setting or in a catering setting. In a home setting, it's really going to be a tzorech to put food back into a warming drawer. So l'tocha tana we would try to avoid. Hachazar al gabe hatanur, again, if it's grufa ktuma and you have all the other conditions, is mutter. Then is a third venue. L'tocha tanur is the worst. Al gabe tanur, that's when you have your standard hachazar with kulas. And then sometimes it's not even al gabe hatanur. That's what the Gemara already begins to talk about. Samuch, there can be cases that aren't even al gabe ha'esh. If it's not al gabe ha'esh, look, if there's a fire over there and I put the food over here, 5 feet away, that's obviously not hachazar. There's this time in Yen Yasul as well, so there's nothing to talk about. But there are different cases which would be considered to where you may get some heat, but it's not al gabe ha'esh and therefore is mutter. So when does that come up? I can either have a horizontal distance, or I can have vertical distance, or it could just be the sort of fire that isn't considered to be esh for hachazara purposes. So horizontal distance, that's the din of lismoch. And we are nakel, Ashkenazim certainly, that you can put food back next to the fire. So I could take food out of the refrigerator with no odio dait lachzim. Mamash nesina mecharash. Nesina mecharash is aser onto a fire, even if it's roof of tuma. But nesina mecharash is mutter alongside the fire. That's how Ashkenazim paskin. Tosus raises a question, is it only if the fire is inside an oven or even on a stovetop? We're makel. Even if you have a stovetop, here's my stovetop and here's the fire. I can't take food out of the fridge and put it on top, but I can take food out of the fridge and put it on the counter right next to the fire. That's fine. Now in terms of, now let's talk some more about the horizontal issues. Right, so if I have the counter right next to the stovetop, so the counter is here to be lismach. We're making there's no oven wall in between the fire and the pot. That's fine. It's not on agave. It's not on top of the stovetop. That's fine. How about though if you have on the stovetop itself? So you have a blech. Just to get to defined terms, when I was your age, a blech is a sheet of metal. Literally in Yiddish, blech means tin. The metal, tin. So a blech is a tin, meaning a sheet of metal, whether it's tin or steel or whatever else, that you put on top of the fire. You have a real gas fire on the stovetop, and you cover the sheet of metal. We'll talk later about Shabbos plot, things of that, so a kedera blech. Right now we're just talking about a regular blech. By blech, I mean, again, an actual fire. Either it's an electric element, or it's a gas fire that's covered with a sheet of metal. So that's, again, that's al-gabi, to put on top of the fire, that's al-gabi eish. If it's covered with a sheet of metal, cover the blefs, that's grufuk tumas. I could do hachazara, but I cannot do misin lecharesh, the pashtas. Okay, but let's say, look, I have multiple burners on the oven, on the stovetop, excuse me. So here's my stovetop, two front burners, two back burners. So I'm probably not going to, most of the time, I'll leave one fire on, two fires on. So I left this fire on, but the blech covers all the burners. Over a couple of hours, the heat spreads. So if the fire is on here, to put the pot on directly above that, so that's agave esh, clearly. Over on the other corner, where it's not even yatzaletos bo, is clearly not agave esh. The in-between zone is a machlokas. I think Ira refers to A, B, and C. The B zone, where it's not directly vertically above the fire, it's a little off to the side, but still you're still on the blech, and it's yatzaletos bo. So that's interesting. Machlokas aposkim, is that called agave esh or not? Rav poskim assume that it is bein lahakel uvein lahachmir. And let me explain. Lahachmir means that I can't take food out of the fridge and put it, you know, on the blech any spot where it's out. So let us know. Okay. Or if I left the food on the far corner of the blech where it's cold, and I can't, in the C zone, I can't move it to the B zone. Because
we're chushish for that even for a,
yeah, it's not the rice, but the seed of the fridge, the seed of the chadash. But Lakula is as follows. If you plan well, so you're gonna, if you have a bunch of things on the blech and you have different courses. So here's how the fact that the intermediate zones consider agave esh, here's how it helps you. I'm serving soup first, and then I'm going to serve the main afterwards. So I put the soup needs to be hottest, and it's going to be served first. So the soup goes before Shabbos. I'm doing Shehiyah Beheter, Agave Ruf Uktuma. So I'm setting things up in Erev Shabbos, and let's say I decide to have only one fire on, and I put the soup pot directly on top of the fire, with the blech in between. Right? And then I'm going to put chicken, whatever, kugel, whatever else, around it, in the bizum. So the kugel, potato kugel right now is not directly on top of the fire, but it is in a place where it's on the blech, right off, it's still on the stovetop, on the blech, yatzaletos bo. So we consider that spot to be agave ha'esh. So when you take the soup off, and put it on the counter, we're going to start serving soup, you can shift the chicken, you can shift the kugel into the hottest spot, into the spot where the soup was. Why? Because even the intermediate zone, as long as yatzaletos bo, is considered to be agave esh. So then all I'm doing, this is where it's a kula. All I'm doing is moving from one agave esh to another agave esh. And that is beferish in Shulchan Aruch. That's the crisis, the morning crisis. That's Siv Gimel. Mashkim baboker. Right? Mashkim baboker. And then I'm gonna, the food is dried out. What am I gonna do? I wanna shift it to different spots. Can I move water from one place to another place? So we assume that from one agave esh to another agave esh is fine. But certainly if you have the odavyodai chalachzer. In other words, same way I can move it back to the, I can take it off and move it back to the same fire. I can take it off and move it back to a different fire, as long as it was agave esh before also. So since we assume that the middle zone of my, the intermediate zone of my blech is considered agave esh, as I said before, lahachmer, we would not allow you to take food out of the fridge and stick it in that intermediate zone. You can put it on the countertop. You can't put it in the intermediate zone if it's outside the boat. But if you left on the intermediate zone for Shabbos, so then if I have the right to move it up further, or let's say even there was no soup, I don't want to leave it on top of the fire the whole time because I'm worried it's going to scorch. So I'll leave it in the intermediate zone, and then 15 minutes before I serve the food, I'll shift it onto mamish on top of the fire, so it'll heat up, but it won't scorch. And so you have that, that's what I'm saying, bein lahakel uvein lahachmir. Okay, so again, we're talking about locations where there is no iser of nesina mecharash. Again, number one, it could be a location of iser nesina mecharash because it's off to the side horizontally. If it's on the counter, that's for sure samach. On the blech, depends where. We said lamas and most poskim assume that intermediate zone is al gabi ha'esh. It's not samach, it's al gabi ha'esh. Bein lahakel bein lahachmir. Okay. Now let's talk about vertical spacing, making it higher. So number one, another's location where I'm allowed to take food from the refrigerator and put it on, where Nesina Mecharash is mutter. Again, All of this assumes there's no bishul. We're talking about solid food, dry food that's fully cooked. Chas v'shalom, wet food, or food that's not fully cooked, they're talking dealing with bishul dreis. Right? In terms of the issur d'rabbanan, the nesina mechadash, so there's no nesina mechadash if it's samach. That's not al gavei ha'esh. It's only issur to do nesina mechadash al gavei ha'esh. And there's no issur nesina mechadash sometimes if you, even if it's directly, vertically above, but it's propped up house. So number one, we have the kula of kedera al gavei kedera. And that is something we have referenced numerous times. And I kept mentioning it in the Bishul Chaburis because that was a way to avoid the Issur D'Rabbanan HaChazara and just get to the core of Bishul. Because we paskin, that's a discussion on the pages of Shulchan Aruch. And we paskin that you're allowed to put food, take cold, dry, cooked food, and put it on top of the chong pot. To put it on top of the fire with a top of the fire, even if the fire is grew for ketumah, chas v'shalom, take it out of the fridge, put it back on. That we wouldn't do. But to put it on top of the chong pot, that's fine. That's not considered to be al-gabe ha'esh. That's not considered to be al-gabe ha'esh. Then, Rav Schechter points out that there is a Magen Avraham. That's Kedera al-gabe kedera. In other words, to put my pot of food on top of a pot that's already on the fire. It doesn't have to be in kedera. It can also be, I'll take a roll and put a roll on top. The point is, al-gabe kedera is not al-gabe esh. Al-gabe kedera, it's on top of the fire. That's not called al-gabe esh. So you want to take your roll, you want to take your coke, you want to take whatever it is. You have a strip of jerky or whatever. Jerky, I'm not sure if it's mevushal or not. But whatever it is, you have something which is cooked and dry and cold. You want to put it on top of the pot. Gesundheit, I mentioned last time, if you're in the market for chalon pots, it's worth keeping your eyes open for a flat-topped chalon pot. That's what we have at home, and it's incredible. It's a flat glass top, and it's an inviting place to do Kedera al-gabe kedera. Many chalon pots, it's a missed opportunity. You have a chalon pot that has a knob that comes up, or a chalon pot that's rounded, so you're going to have years of, you know, fallen kugel. And you get a fat. Some people are even more ambitious, or if you have an engineering tilt, you could try a cantilever. And then you get, like, see, you have something when they expand houses, so they build out the second level slightly further out than the first level. So if you want to, you could take a cookie pan, a flat metal cookie pan, and put it on top of your flat chalon pot, and then it gives you a broader, again, you know, obviously at your own risk, if you put too much on one side, you'll have a lot of kugel on the counter. So obviously you have to do with all due caution. But again, that's often your easiest, most practical solution to warming food will often be al-gabe kedera. List smoke to put it on the side, alongside on the counter, you're not going to get a lot of mileage out of that usually. But to put it on top of the chalon pot, you can leave it there long enough. Are you not looking to get necessarily steaming hot? That will definitely work. So that's one vertical solution. Another vertical solution, Rav Schechter points out, the Magen Avraham talks about they would a different look to the 16th, 17th century kitchens, but they would have the sometimes very tall fires and very high shelves. Comes up in your day also. They would have like the food hanging like a couple of feet above the oven. So if it's up on a shelf and it's really mugbar from the fire, so that's not agave. Agave means on the fire. So Rav Schechter's nusach was, he thought if you're 6 inches above, if you lifted 6 inches up, that's quite a bit. So that's where it is. You have a really deep pan. You stack two pans one on top of the other. So your food is elevated that much, so that's already not considered agave esh. It's not very practical usually because if it's elevated that much, you're not really going to get a lot of warming done. But in theory, if you had a really big fire, it would help. A really hot fire, and then you elevated, you know, a significant amount, that would work. With our ovens, it doesn't come with that much. Take questions in a couple moments. And then number three, in terms of vertical solutions, is kedera agave kedera, which is where you have, you know, even a shallow pot, but a pot with actual food in it on top of it, to put on top of that. Or if you just get your 6 inches. Or Rav Avadia Yosef has a third solution. Rav Avadia Yosef thinks You don't need food in the pot. You don't need a pot. Rav Yosef demonstrates a number of Sephardi poskim held that a blech is not a gabahesh. Wow. Which I believe means that there's grufa ketuma, that's when you sprinkle a little bit of ashes on the fire. We have mamash a sheet of metal. Rav Yosef says for Sephardim, shmamash a sheet of metal on your fire, that's the equivalent, that's not a gabahesh. That's the equivalent of Kedera agave kedera. So we would say no. We would say the only way you're going to get the Ashkenazim would say either you have to have a pot with food in it, or you have to have a significant 6-inch vertical lift. Ravida says no. Just be a sheet of metal. You're really good. So, and that comes back to the point you made before. That right, exactly. That comes back to the point you made before that Ravida is relevant for Sardim. We'll follow Ravida's Pesachim. And it's relevant for Ashkenazim, not lechatchila b'diyavad. In other words, I don't have the right, I'm Ashkenazi, so I should not follow Rav Yosef's pesach. Folks, the major Sephardi post from Mekel, major Ashkenazi post from Machmer, so I should, every Jew should follow his tradition. So my tradition is Ashkenazi tradition, so I should not take food out of the fridge and just put it on the blech because Rav Yosef, I'm Ashkenazi, so I follow Ashkenazi post. However, if someone else did, so if he's Sephardi, so then he did the right thing. If he's Ashkenazi, he did not do the right thing. But regardless of whether he's Ashkenazi or Sephardi, someone took food out of the fridge and put it on the blech. So we all have, he and I, we all have the right to eat the food. Because again, that's the kula of the Prima Gadim. The Masa Shabbos only applies, but sometimes also called days. Again, Masa Shabbos means the Easter to benefit from an act that was done by Isser on Shabbos, whether it's a malacha or it's shehi and hachazara. But that's only, I'm not allowed to benefit from the hachazara if it was Asr l'chol hadeis. But to put food on the blech, according to Ravida, is mutter. So, yeah, certainly legitimate shita. We don't pass like that. We Ashkenazim don't pass like a shita. We Sfarzim do. Okay, so if I'm Ashkenazim, I don't pass like a shita. But certainly a significant shita. And wood, so that's very, very, very important to keep in your back pocket. That's very important. There will often be a difference. This came up by Bishul Darais also. There will often be a difference between what you're allowed to do in the kitchen versus what you're allowed to eat in the dining room. And let's say even in Bishul Achabishul, let's say someone took half-cooked food and put it back on the fire. That's a we pass the melech is bishul daraisa. Taisa is the Rambam. On the other hand, the Rajba says it's mutter. Okay, we don't pass the Rajba. So we would never in the kitchen. We say don't do that. But if it was already done in the kitchen, can I eat it in the dining room? Absolutely. I mean, I can eat in the kitchen too. So in other words, can I eat it afterwards? Yes, because it's a machlokas whether it was mutter asa. So it was usher to do lechatchila, and but mutter b'dieved to benefit from. And by the way, one more point of terminology. One more point of terminology, this comes up not just here but all over the place, the words lechatchila and bidyeved, just to understand what they mean. I think Rabbi Neuberger will sometimes pronounce it correctly as bidyavad, just to highlight what the word means. Bidyeved or bidyavad is Aramaic for bishe asa, in a case where he already did it. Lechatchila is in the tchila, initially. Before the act. Lechatchila and bidyeved have nothing to do directly with great need. Lechatchila means beforehand, and bidyeved means after. Am I allowed to do activity X? That's a lechatchila question. I did activity X already, maybe I shouldn't have. Now what? Picking up the pieces after is bidyeved, or bidyavad. So asking, am I allowed to take the food and put it down this way? That's a lechatchila question. Asking, we already put the food down this way, can we eat it now? That's a bidyeved question. And that's a question not of Isser Bishul or of Hachazara, but it's a question of Maaseh Shabbos. That's what we're saying. Even something which, if the machlokas, whether or not I'm allowed to do something, lechatchila, whether I'm allowed to do it, so even if we paskin lechatchila usr, in other words, we paskin, I'm not allowed to do it, but if I or someone else did it, it's still going to be mutter bidyeved if there are poskin rolled, there was mutter lechatchila. The reason why people think of bidyeved as meaning is because we have a rule that shas hadcha kidyeved dami. In other words, that says b'makom tzarach gadol, we would allow lechatchila doing those things which are mutter b'diyah. Sometimes that's a limited rule, but there is, in certain areas of halacha we have such a rule. The shas hadchak plays by the same rules as d'yevan, so that's why some people sort of think about the word b'diyevan as meaning shas hadchakish concept. Not the same thing. Lechatchila means may I do it, and b'diyevan means I did it or someone did it. Now what? The post facto question is b'diyevan. Let me talk about. Well, let's finish this chunk, and then I'm going to take. I know people are waiting for questions. Again, we spoke about the five conditions of. The six or seven conditions of Hachazara, which again spoke to avoiding the Isser Bishul Daraisa and ensuring that what you're doing is a Hachazara rather than a Sina Mechadash. That was Odiyot, that's a Hachazara, and perhaps Kohen Bar Avram, Lohan Stan, Lohan Hamri. And then, whether it's a Sina Mechadash or Hachazara, it better be Al-Gabe Eish, not Pesach, and it better be with the Gruf Raktum. Okay. And then we said, so that was the first chunk we spoke about. The Ram, the difficulty of accepting the Ram. There were those who accepted the Ram, didn't accept the Ram. There may be cases when it's worth relying on the Ram. Generally, we would certainly avoid the Ram. And we spoke about, now we're talking about locations. What locations have no Issur Nesina Mechadash? So you have to avoid Bishul. As long as no Melech is Bishul, as long as it's cooked, dry food, put it there. Where are the locations where you don't have to worry? So number one is horizontally, if it's off to the side, samach, we pass in as mutter, even if there's no intervening wall, but that applies to a counter, but does not apply, we said, according to most poskim, to parts of the black, which are yad saletazbo. Number two, we spoke about vertical. How are you going to get in some height as a way to make it mutter to put food there? Number one, agave kedera is mutter. Number two, if it's just, agave kedera means there's something inside. I have food, or the kedera blech is where they build sort of a very wide pan that covers your whole, large enough to cover the whole oven, and you fill it with water, and then you put it on a top. Some posts can demand that you actually use some of the water, others assume not, you could use the water, but that's where the kedera blech is. It's not just a regular sheet of metal, it actually holds water, and you actually have water in there, water that could be accessed with a spigot or something. So that's, or a more standard type of kedera, agave kedera, just you have a chalom pot, you have a soup pot, whatever, you have a pot of regular food, top, right? Number two, he said if you would, it doesn't help so much unless you have a big fire, but if you were really to lift, if the food is raised 6 inches or more above the fire, that's a mountain of Ram skula, and then we have a rabbi's skula for Sfarim, not for Ashkenazim, that any, on top of any blech, is not agave esh. That's the horizontal, that's the vertical, and finally, there are locations, items, heat sources, which according to many poskim, are not a hachazar issue. And that, by that I mean a non-adjustable hot plate, a platat Shabbat. So, interesting, you look in the Shmir Shabbos Pilchasa, you get the impression that everyone is machmer. That everyone considers a plata to be, maybe it's like a fire with a blech, but that's about it. There, Shechter presents it, is Rav Poskim Armeiko. Does Rav Poskim assume that that's not Hachazara at all? That means there's no issue of Nesina Mecharash. The whole issue of Nesina Mecharash, and this really segues us into our next discussion, but that the whole issue of Nesina Mecharash, that I can't put the food on even if it is a blech, unless it's a continuation, is, we'll get back to in a couple of minutes, we spoke about last time. We showed him either it's because it's a sort of a type of cooking, Mexican vasho, or because like shahi and hatamana, we're worried that you may poke the coals. So that's why many poskim say this isn't meant for it's not something you could really, it's not built for cooking, it's built for warming. And it's only built for warming, and it's non-adjustable. It has no knob. Maybe it has a switch, turn on or off. That's it. It's on. Nothing to do. There's no way to raise the fire. So there's no Shami Echad, yeah? And there's no Mexican Mevashel. So that's what Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank said. If you want the Maror Makom, you'll find that in the footnote of Shmuel Shabbos Kolchas. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank thought, that's very nice. But even though practically this fire can't be stoked, okay, so that's like it has a blech. But that's it. But he still can't do the same Echadash. So that's to be odiyot, that's l'achzer. But many posts can assume that. any post mussar nut, and that's a widely accepted kula. That if you, again, if you have, which really yields what emerges from this, is the two major ways that you're going to take cold food on Shabbos morning and warm it up, is either going to be al-gabe kidera, or is going to be on a non-adjustable warming plate. Al-gabe kidera is mutter l'chaldeis, l'maisa, to all contemporary poskim, and there was, the Shofar Aruch had a debate about it, but l'maisa al-gabe kidera is mutter l'chaldeis. According to Pesach Frank and some others, the Shabbos plata is not a solution, but many poskim assume that the Shabbos plata is just fine. Again, so I could put, which would mean, any cooked, dry food can go on top of the chalam pot, it can go on top of the plata, but chalila is a very, it needs to be reiterated, that none of this is matir and iser bishal. None of this is matir and iser bishal. I'll just give one more example of lesmoch, that's not at the moment part of my life, but might be part of your reality at this point in your lives. Another example of lismoch, we were talking about before, is not just on the counter alongside the stove, but on the radiator in the dorm room, right? Because it's not, you're going to get great heat, but the fire, this isn't the heat source. The heat source is 30, 40, 50 feet away in the basement, and then you have water or steam that's being cycled through the pipes. So that's mamish shalal gabi ha'esh. That's mamish shalal gabi ha'esh. So we would say, assuming the food is dry and fully cooked, so there's no prohibition, then the ha'esh, shiya chazar is fine. Stick it on your radiator. That's how Ashkenaz and Paskin, that samuch is not only mutter, the Gemara is the question of samuch by shiya. Ashkenazim assume that the kula the Gemara has by shiya bismicha also applies to hachazara bismicha. We have one final discussion, and before that, we will. A lot of guys have been waiting very patiently for questions. I think you were first, but I'm not sure.
I think you answered
the
question.
Okay.
In terms of the pre-regarden, just to clarify, that only applies to Afirin, right? Or are you also able to extend that to?
I thought the prima gunnum applies to the person himself. I'm not sure. I mean, if no da acharkach.
Yeah, meaning I thought that it's even so, then the individual person still can't get it. I'm not sure.
I thought it's across the board, okay. But we should check. Yeah.
When we say roteche and not stunning, does that mean that if it's warm, it's not roteche? Or?
Yeah, so the mechaber in the world of in bishul achar bishul, this takes us back to Shin Yud Ches. You jump back into the first semester. So the Shulchan Aruch is more machmir. Shulchan Aruch says if I have soup and it went down, I took it off the fire and it went down to 100 degrees below Yatzaletzbo, 110 degrees below Yatzaletzbo, still warm. It's not room temperature. The Chaver says, no, I'll be halacha. Hot is Yatzaletzbo, it's under Yatzaletzbo's coat. Lukewarm, potion, whatever. It's not hot. It's no longer hot. You're going to take it back up to hot. That would be Bishul Daraisa. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. And Ramah seems to cut some sort of compromise in between the sheet of the Yesh Bishul and Bishul Balach and Ein Bishul Bishul Balach. And he says, we're machmir that Ein Bishul, that there's a concern of Bishul Bishul Balach, but only if all the heat is totally gone. It went down to room temperature. It went down to room temperature, so that there's no impact, no remaining impact of the original cooking. But as long as there's a remaining impact, it's 90 degrees. It's not, it's way below Yatzaletzbo, but it's still hotter than it would have been if it hadn't been on the fire before. So that's why there's a difference between the Mechaber and the Ramah in terms of that issue. Yeah.
With the radiator, like, would you have had to have the food on before Shabbos in order to do it?
Nope, because this is not considered to be, again, the way to think about it conceptually is in an Issur Drabbanan of Misina Mechadash, there's an Issur Drabbanan of Hachazara without Grufa Ktuma, and the Issur Drabbanan of Hachazara Lotel Chatanur, and the Issur Drabbanan of Misina Mechadash even Al Gabe Hatanur with a Grufa Ktuma. But that's all only Al Gabe, but this isn't Al Gabe. This is
so anything to that.
Yeah. So even the Sinai Mechadash is mutter.
just not bishul. Because again, to take food that's not fully cooked, or to take cold soup and put it on a radiator, that's the first sugi we learned this year. That's bishul, but told us what work. The fire is over there, and then the water is the water got heated in the boiler, and now there's water here, and I'm cooking my soup, or I'm cooking my half raw chicken from this hot water. So that's mamish bishul b'tal so or we pass near, and we said rov rishonim l'chor b'fair shu gemara, right? That's the sederaisa. So there's nothing to talk about. But once it's cooked and dry, so you can mamish take it out of the fridge and put it straight on the radiator. That's how we would pass it.
Why is it different than a plato or a hot plate?
No, that's what we assume by a plato also. No. If a non-adjustable. Oh, why is this better? No, so this is because the hot plate, it is agave. I'm putting it on top of the hot plate. The shayla is, maybe the hot plate is not considered to be the sort of esh that,
right,
where there's an iser, but I am in direct, in other words, I have the proximity. Lismoch or kedera agave kedera, I don't have the proximity to the fire. That's what I said before. When you think about places which are mutter, there are three different sort of dimensions, three different categories. There's moving over horizontally, there's moving it up vertically, and then there's the Shabbos plata, which is just sort of, it's not moved away. It's just that this isn't the sort of, perhaps it's not the sort of esh, not the sort of tanur that Chazal forbade. But you are al gabe, the plata.
Okay.
Right? But by the radiator, the esh is a real esh. To put food on the boiler in the basement, that's a big problem. But I'm not al gabe esh. It's 20 feet away, 60 feet away.
Okay. Also, I don't think I understand the warming draw thing, which I think like the most halacha of my set for like most of our houses. Like, how do you say that works?
I would recommend, there is a machlokes at poskim, and I would recommend in your houses you should follow the psak of the rabbanim that your family is asked shaylos to. The issue is that it's that hachazara, one of the conditions for hachazara to mutter is that has to be hachazara al gabay Agave, not hachazara l'tocha tanur. So that's why in a warming drawer presents is much more challenging than on top of a non-adjustable hot plate. A. B, the warming drawers are often adjustable. Right? So even that's a very important point. When I told you before, a Shabbos plata, not only a warming plate, it's a warm plate, does not have a knob. It may have an on or off switch, but you can't, there's no way to adjust the flame. Some people make it non-adjustable by, you know, you could use a, not on Shabbos, but on Arab Shabbos, take a pair of pliers, and if the only plata you found has a knob, you could buy it on your own plata, buy a plata, and remove the knob. And then you have converted it into a non-adjustable warming plate. So that's why the warming drawer is much more challenging. The tzad l'hakla, as far as I understand, it works on, and maybe if I can cover the knob with the multiple layers of tape, so then that's a Gemara talks about in the first parak about a heter if it's tuach petet, if you've rendered it non-adjustable by like you smear it over with cement. So as I said, you put a couple layers of duct tape on, that's the modern day equivalent. It doesn't have to be, it's not a din, you need cement. You have something that's really, really a big pain to get. It's not just a question of I'll stick my hand under the blech and then turn the knob. No, this is mom. It's like, oh, it'd be a whole ASIC to get it off. And then my understanding is that those who are mako on hachaz, now there are two issues. One issue is, can I get around the adjustability? Maybe if I cover the knob, so they have the right to leave food in there from before Shabbos. That's one point A. Point B is, will that even allow me to put stuff back in on Shabbos? So that the way I understand that approach is that it's relying on, the way I understand that approach is that it's relying on sort of the same thinking as the hot plate. In other words, since it's only meant for warming, it's not meant for cooking. And I taped up the ball of tape on the knob. Then look, it's not no problem Shem Yechata because I have ball of tape on the knob. Then no problem Mexico Vashel because it's only meant for warmers, not meant for cooking. So then, shine. That's just as good. So I think that's my understanding. I have not looked into that thoroughly. My understanding is those who are makele to put food in a warmer drawer on Shabbos, it's with making those assumptions. Making the assumption that since it's only meant for warming, so there's no mechsik levashel, since I managed to get rid of the adjustability or have a non-adjustable warming drawer, so then there's no problem of Shem Yechata. The question is, I think one of the questions that gets raised, I think, is are warming drawers as non-cooking-ish as platas are? And the other question that gets raised is, does this get you around the concern of L'toch Hatan? It's not meant for cooking, but L'toch Hatan, so how do you weigh that? So that's my impression. My impression is that's why there's a debate, and that's why I said you should follow the posik that your family has trials to.
But if you don't put any tape on, you're for sure not good. Like any
if it's
I heard because it's not hot enough, so if it's not Yetzel
Esbo, not Yetzel Esbo, it's fine.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, let's be correct. If your warming drawer is set to 110 degrees. You could have a party. It's just not going to, I'm not sure how it's going to help you. But if you just want to take the chill out of things and get things up to 110 degrees, it's absolutely heter gomer. Absolutely heter gomer. Let me be clear. If you have something that's set to 110 degrees, if you had a bowl of milk that was at 110 degrees, and you took a fleishig spoon and stuck it into the bowl of milk, everything is still kosher. Because al pi halacha, and yasa hasbo, is not hot. There's no blia. There's no bishul for basu b'chol purposes. There's no bishul for Shabbos purposes. Yeah, on the outside is totally fine. And that's true. If all you want to do is set your orange drawer to 110 degrees, or if you want to make a let's say not like the Yishmei Shabbos Luchasa, say that OU. So OU assumes that the outside is only starts at 120. Okay.
That's a wide
read. So 118. You make it like the rough. Yes, Lesbo only starts at 140. Okay, so on Yes, Lesbo is fine. The question is, once you're saying it to Yes, Lesbo, that's when you already have to start figuring out, is this okay, is it not okay? Is it okay for Shahia, is it even okay for Hazara? That's where it gets dicey, and that's where many poskim are uncomfortable, again, for the reasons that we discussed. It's L'toch HaTanor. It is adjustable, unless you mamish, unless you boil it up with... Now, again, if you cover the knob... So many would say that's going to be matar shahiyah. That's true, can be true even in a real oven. And that was simply spoken. That's the machlokas haposkim. When you cover where you're supposed to be, what does gruf ketuvah mean? Does it mean covering the heat source? Does it mean covering the adjustment point? So Moshe Feinstein was very insistent on covering the heat source. Ryan Cutler and some others, I believe the Rav also felt this bicker, you're really trying to cover the adjustment point. So if you cover the knobs, certainly matar shahiyah. Shehiyah is mutter as long as it's a groove of tuba. So if you cover the knobs, it's definitely that can be true in an oven also, perhaps. If you work with Aaron Kotler and the Rav, you cover the knobs, it's Shehiyah. But the problem, but HaChazara is not as simple. To put food on in the warm drawer on Shabbos, that's where things begin to get more complex. Yes.
Though, because of the mock locus, if somebody else put something in a heating drawer, would you still be allowed to eat it?
I don't think so.
You would not think so?
No, I would think you could. Okay. I would think you could. Yeah.
Yeah, I know it's not what we're doing now, but isn't, like, well, not, I don't really know what that is, but that's not an issue for warming drawers?
Yes, yeah, so Hatamana, we discussed a little bit last time. The Hatamana is, but Pasha's not a problem. Hatamana is when I have food set up to wrapped in a way that will either maintain or increase its heat. So that's us on Erev Shabbos. I'm not allowed to set up food for before Shabbos wrapped in a way that there's more heat being pumped in. On Shabbos, I cannot even wrap food just in a way that's going to maintain the heat. Because Hatzmana B'davar HaMosav Hevel, Hatzmana B'davar HaMamina. We spoke last time, Shulchan Aruch says, even if, let's say, I have something on top of a fire, or I have an urn, and then I wrap it around from before Shabbos, that's called B'davar HaMosav Hevel, because it's wrapped, and it's in a way that heat is being added. So that's also doing before Shabbos. On Shabbos, the fire goes out, so make sure that the gas isn't flowing. That's pronounced tefashos. And then you're going to want, if the soup is, you don't want the soup to cool off, you're going to want, you might want to wrap it with blankets, where make sure, even though there's no heat source, it's just mamid hevel, just maintaining heat, but that's aser on Shabbos. However, hatmana is defined as an added wrapping above and beyond the pot and lid itself that is in contact with the pot on all sides. So if you, they're talking Shulchan Aruch about sort of like having like a tent. Let's say I have a pot on the fire, so to put a jacket, I have an urn. So to put a jacket on the urn, even if it looks very Hamish because it's velvet with a like Hamish looking stitching, it says Shabbos Kodesh, I tell you, it looks minor, missing one word, Shvichil Shabbos Kodesh. I have the jacket directly on the, in contact with the urn, that's Mamish, that's Mano B'davra, most Vevel, Vodyom. That's Aser. But let's say, instead of putting a jacket that hugs the urn, you have a pan that's wider, significantly that's wider than the urn. You put a pan across the top, and then you drape blankets or towels over the urn. So then it's wrapped from all sides, but the blankets or the towels aren't touching the urn. That's not Hatmana. Hatmana is only in the original Klirishon. The Klirishon is Bashalbo, and only if it's if the Davar HaMachmen is in direct contact from all sides. And Hatmana, just to this recap our brief Chazar of Hatmana. Hatmana is also only if it's in the Klishon as Bashalbo, and the Davar HaMachmen is in direct contact with the pot. There's an additional Davar HaMachmen, aside from the pot lid itself, which is in direct contact with the pot, and it's in touching from all sides. If you cover, open the top, let's say it's fine. And finally, it's only usur if it's either Shabbos when you're doing it or Davar HaMosav Hevel. To be matmin, even though you're doing real hatmana, but to be matmin just in blankets with no heat source on Erev Shabbos is fine. As a matter of fact, Shulchan Aruch said it's a mitzvah. You should make sure you have hot food. Do whatever you need to do, whether it's a plata or it's hatmana ve'ofen hamutim v'od yom, or whatever you're going to do, you're going to have a blech. Whatever you do, that's a mitzvah to have on Erev Shabbos. That's how the sif ends. That we are not carrots. That we believe there's nothing wrong with having fire lit on Shabbos, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying your Shabbos. It's not only that the Karaites mistranslated Lo Sevaru Esh to mean you're not allowed to have fires burning, and therefore they had cold, dark Shabbosos. As the Rambam stresses in the last parak, and Chaim Soloveitchik, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, unpublished essay, points out that seems to be part of the subtext thrust of Hilchos Shabbos is poignant at the end of the last paragraph of Hilchos Shabbos and Rambam. He says that there was a fundamental difference of paradigm in terms of what Shabbos is supposed to be. The Karaites is perhaps as a result of their insistence on no fire, no heat, no light, developed this notion that Shabbos is supposed to be this sad, gloomy, dark day. And it was painful, almost. And it was like, something very Christian about it, theologically. In other words, fundamentally, holiness would be to escape from physical pleasure. The holiest day will be the day where it's all dark and cold and the food is yucky, it's all gloomy. And the Rambam says, no! Kaviyone! That's part of the mitzvah Yishayo tells us. It's supposed to be a glorious, wonderful day. You're supposed to not stop get distracted by Gashmis, but you're supposed to engage Gashmis in the service of making Shabbos beautiful. So Oneg Shabbos is a mitzvah. That's why this siman ends. It's a mitzvah to figure out how you're going to make sure to have delicious hot food on Shabbos. Are you going to cook it before heat up for Shabbos and then wrap it in blankets? And Hatamana v'davar hamam and hevel? Are you going to leave it on the blech? Are you going to put it on the plot? Figure out what system you're going to have. To Mishatarach b'Erev Shabbos, Yoach b'Shabbos. then you should get it done before Shabbos, so that way, get it done. That way you'll be able to enjoy it on Shabbos.